Hey friends, you're listening to Changing the Conversation, a podcast by African Leadership and the Mocha Club, where we take time to sit down and explore topics to challenge our perspective in pursuit of better loving people and the world around us. I love this morning because it's like girl power podcast, which we've never done before, and I love that.
We've always had guys.
We do. We always have guys. Okay, listeners, we are so excited to have you listening into this podcast because we have a great group of women in this room. Mocha Club and African Leadership are part of an event every year called Fabulous Friends for Africa. And we just want to share how it came about, their vision for it, and just how this event has grown over the years in Nashville, Tennessee. So, ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
And Emily's here too.
Good morning. It's a hard Monday, but we fought to get here.
We're here. We're ready.
Yeah, despite it all. Well, thank you for joining us. We have Terry Hill and we have Edie High. And we're grateful for y'all being here. Like Fallon said, you guys have done so much over the last 12 years to build an understanding and an awareness in Tennessee about African leadership, but also the work we do. But you've also leveraged a lot of who you are and your time and your money and your influence to help fundraise for the organization. So one of the things we continue to talk about on this podcast is really about how it's more than just the work that's being done in Africa. It's this group of people that collectively leverage who they are and fight for what they believe God's calling them to make a real difference in the world. And you guys are great examples of that. So we're excited to kind of hear a little bit about your story. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Terry, I want to start with you. My understanding is that you were kind of one of the brain powers behind this dream or this idea 12 years ago, or maybe longer.
Yes, it was actually in 2007, and several things came together that eventually became the Fabulous Friends for Africa. I was about 6 months out from my 50th birthday,
woohoo!
So already beginning to think about what I might want to do. My husband kept saying, what do you want? What kind of party? We were taking dance lessons at the time.
You really?
So,
what kind
yes,
of dance lessons?
Oh, ballroom, swing, tango.
That is so
I'm too funny. Short to do tango. But nonetheless, we were taking those. And so, you know, the idea of a dance for my birthday was kind of rolling around in my head. About the same time, we were studying Hebrews at our church. And our church has a history of doing some odd things in the middle of sermons. And so as we were studying the part of Hebrews that referred to the walk around Jericho, our pastors had us put down our books, our Bibles, and go walk around the campus, just like we were walking around Jericho. Well, I don't like to be told what to do. And so I was grumbling as I walked out of the church. And somewhere along that walk, I thought the Israelites probably felt that way. There were probably many of them that felt that God was asking them to do something ridiculous. And so somewhere along that walk, I said, God, ask something of me. That night, we watched a movie, Blood Diamond, that really reminded me of the needs in Africa and just different things I had been exposed to through the years, through friends and so forth. And somehow, after that movie, the next day, as I was praying, I felt like God said, use your birthday party to help Africa.
That's not general or too time-consuming for you.
It was
like so broad of a request.
It was. But at that point, I was a homeschool mom and had some time on my hands, and so I just started thinking about what we might do. And Edie may remember that we were sitting out on the porch having dinner one night, and I turned to the family and said, what if we have a birthday party for me to benefit Africa and
charge our friends to come?
I cannot say that there was an enthusiastic response at first. There was a little bit of disbelief. But then I thought, oh, I've got like four or five friends that are also turning 50 in the next 6 months. So what if I pull them together and we have a birthday party, a joint birthday party? So after that, actually, I was taking Edie to Memphis to fly out for a trip, and somehow she had other things to do. So I sat in the hotel room by myself and wrote a long email inviting my friends to consider a crazy idea. In fact, I still have it. The subject line says a crazy idea. And they all were like, oh my goodness, that is a crazy idea, but Terry, this is what you want to do when you want us to do it. We're in. So with that, we started.
So you started planning this massive dance with your friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We didn't mention that Edie is the lovely daughter of Terry,
yes.
Which we'll talk more about as this podcast goes on.
But Barbara laughs.
Edie, what was it? What was that moment like when she is sitting outside saying, "Let's have a Valentine's Day"?
What I remember was I was getting ready to leave to study abroad in Spain for a little while, and you know I was in college, and I guess still thinking that my mom's world revolved around me. And so I remember seeing her sobbing in the hallway of processing what the Lord was doing in her heart and calling her to do this party. And I thought it was because I was leaving.
Of course. I would be right there with you. I'm okay with that.
Like, don't worry. Yes. I'll be back. I'll be fine.
Right.
And she said, it's not about you. It's this, you know, the movie, and I just feel like we need to be doing more. And it was kind of this juncture where, you know, me and my older brother were out of the house, and I think she was kind of processing, this may be a less demanding season of life. I mean, maybe, is that fair to say? Like, maybe I will have some capacity to invest time and resources elsewhere, and I don't want to waste it. And so there was a lot of processing that I got to be a part of that was impactful for me to hear what it can look like to step back and process when you have some window of time or resources or capacity. How do you not just use that for your own benefit? And asking that question and where that can lead you. It was just fun and interesting to like see where that took you.
It was fun. It was fun. And I have a great group of friends that agreed to come along, and not only for the ride, but to do a lot of work. And, you know, part of that process the first year was to say, what kind of organization can we partner with that will allow us to accomplish this? Several of us had been introduced to African leadership before. One lady in particular, Jane Carroll, that's on your all's board, was familiar with African leadership. So that was a natural place for us to start. And so we started that summer having some conversations with, if we want to do this, would you all be willing to allow us to partner with you?
Which is bizarre from our end of things, for somebody to approach and say, we'd like to throw you a party, is a huge blessing. And it's something that most organizations don't have access to. And we've been very fortunate, both African Leadership and the Mocha Club, to have people who are so passionate about wanting to leverage what they have. And Edie, like you were saying, like, maybe I have this window. It might be a month, or it might be a year, it might be a whole season of my life. But how do I leverage that for something bigger than myself? So it was a huge blessing on our side of the equation.
It turned out that way. But I think that the leadership of African Leadership at that time took a risk with us. I'm a CPA. We had a couple of nurses, a teacher. We did not look like your fundraising expert group. And so, because I am a CPA, I didn't want to set up my own 501c3. I wanted to partner with African Leadership and what that might mean. You know, there was a risk for African Leadership that it could have been a big bomb and they would have been left holding the bag. So they took a risk with us, which always meant a lot.
I think you guys feel like a really safe risk because you're so detailed. I mean, there was going to be no dropping of a bag. I mean,
they didn't know that.
You don't drop a lot of balls. Well, from what I've watched.
Well, they didn't know that, and even though it was a close group of friends, we had never worked together on something like this. So we got to learn things about each other in the process that deepened our relationships, frustrated our relationships. it was a learning process for us. I think over time, African leadership felt more comfortable with us and we felt more comfortable with each other.
But you kind of intentionally walked through a very detailed process. You started that summer. You figured out where we're going to have it and what kind of music. And then we've got to feed people. How are we going to do registration? And questions I still hear every week or every other week. What is this going to look like? And what colors and what themes? And who's writing the invitation? Who's taking the pictures? What was one of the ways that the Lord kind of really showed you in that first year, like, this is what I have for you? It's not just you leveraging something else, but this is also for you as well.
As we began to hear more and more about the projects that our money could support, the people that would be impacted, I don't think it was the first year. It was maybe either the second or third year that someone told us that the women in South Africa were praying for us. Very humbling. That someone in Africa would be concerned with the success for some crazy lady's dance party. Pretty amazing. God showed me my own inadequacies, but the blessing of friends that come around that have giftings that I do not, family that supported me, and us. It was not just my family, several families. God, even that first year, gave us financial success well beyond our wildest imagination. It was pretty much intended to be a one-time birthday thing. But I remember after the party, we were back kind of rehashing and celebrating, and we were already going, let's do this again. God blessed us with fun. He blessed us with success. He blessed us with people that came. My friend Scylla, in one of our early meetings, said, Terry, what if nobody shows up? I said, well, that'll be a small party.
And somewhere in this journey, so you guys start deciding to throw these parties every year. This group of women grows to be 10, and your relationship with African leadership kind of cemented, and you found your kind of groove and your rhythm. Somewhere in there, you took a trip to Africa. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, that was wonderful.
And it was just you or family or fabulous friends, ladies?
All of my family and all of David and Scylla Crane's family.
Okay. Scylla's another fabulous friend.
Scylla is one of the fabulous friends, one who was passionate about starting the auction.
We're grateful for that, right?
Yes. Yes. Very funny. You know, we've tried to make decisions in a very democratic way and had a little survey about how people felt about auctions. And Scylla and I were on opposite ends of the spectrum. Fortunately, she stepped up to the plate. But yes, her family and my family went to Africa in 2011.
Okay.
And
where'd y'all go?
To Uganda and went to Jinja and a couple of other places there, and then went to Nairobi and visited some of the projects that we had benefited there.
Which so was cool.
One of the most humbling opportunities we had was to visit a place that had a plaque that said, in appreciation to African leadership and the Fabulous Friends for Africa, this vocational school was completed. And in that setting, it was hard to imagine that some crazy ladies in Brentwood would have an impact in the middle of that place. And that was only the hand of God. And they were very welcoming and grateful to us. One of the pastors there, one of the leaders, said a phrase I will never forget as he was asking about us and how we got involved with African leadership. One of his parting comments was, thank you for dancing for us.
That's really special.
Edie, you were on this trip. What was it like for you to be in Africa and see what your mom had, her crazy idea had created or helped create?
It was so impactful. And I have a picture of my mom and Scylla embracing in front of that plaque, weeping. So they have been best friends since I've been alive. And now
Emily and I, Scylla's daughter and I, are both, you know, two of the women that have taken over with the party. But yeah, I mean, to see how the Lord, in just such an unexpected way, used them working together, these just best friends that all came together to throw this party, and then in this slum in Nairobi, and we got to go and sit in the classrooms where they teach sewing classes, and there were several technical trainings in this
accounting building,
right? And we got to kind of see and sit like students and learn about what they're learning there and meet some of the students. And I mean, it was totally humbling to go, what, this party in Franklin, Tennessee, helped to erect this building and provide teachers here. And you know, we just got a much more up-close look at how the funds were being used. And it was really impactful for us. And I think one of the things that I think it's Jane Carroll always says is, we talked a lot on that trip about philosophy of giving. And her phrase, correct me if this is wrong, is to serve locally but give globally. And I don't know that necessarily, I don't own that as like you never give locally or whatever, but that your dollar can go so far in some of these really extremely impoverished places. And so that was the other thing that was incredible to me, was to look at. We visited, was the school outside of Nairobi where funds from the party had bought everyone school books and, you know, helped purchase uniforms. I mean, just the impact, the far-reaching impact of the money to me was really impactful too, to go, wow, this is a really worthwhile use of resources, you know, for all of our party guests and friends, that, you know, it can feel disconnected when we're here, you know, dancing and doing the silent auction thing, but then to really see just how impactful those financial resources were was really meaningful for me.
You were on quite a journey for 10 years watching your mom do this. You were in a season of your life where you were in school, getting ready to go to Spain, maybe more concerned with mom's thoughts about you, and then you get married, and then you have children, a child, Cooper, sweet Cooper. So you're watching all of this unfold, and then there's starting to be rumblings 8-9 years in, like, we're getting kind of tired.
Old is the better word.
We will never call you old. Terry, what was it like, first of all, for you to make a decision of, hey, we've carried this torch, we've pushed a load, we've done all of this work together as a group of women, but I think this season where we felt like potentially we had extra capacity and we were willing to leverage, we just think it's coming to a close. What was that like for you to kind of navigate the other end of the story where the Lord might be saying, okay, we're going to move on from this?
Bittersweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just been a delightful, delightful part of my life. And all of the friends enjoyed working together. Mm-hmm. And the Lord blessed it financially with success, over $700,000 over those years. And oddly enough, I think every woman in the original group has at least one daughter. And so early on, maybe in year two or three, we said, what if our daughters take over someday?
Really?
So we had always been dropping that seed. You know, every year we would get to the end of the dance and say, do we want to do it again? As we did get older or have other commitments with elderly parents, and you know, we had a lot of life going on. One night we sat down and tried to do a list of, over the 10-year span, how many weddings and graduations and divorces and death and sickness and all those things. And there was a huge list of what our lives had entailed during that time. And we had walked through those together, which was sweet. And the last couple of years, I think there was a recognition that we were being taken to different places. And so that thought of our daughters possibly taking over was a delightful one. You know, there was a sadness to think, well, it just stops. And so we started those conversations. So that made the bittersweet less bitter.
Yeah, right. Do you remember, Edie, that first conversation where she was like, so, I have an idea.
I do. Well, I do. They had been planting the seeds. You know, my mom is not subtle about much. So they had been planting the seeds for a while.
On the Enneagram.
But they really started leaning in, I guess, when they were planning for the 10th year, because they had decided, you know, whether or not it's going to be taken over by anyone, this is the last year. And so they asked, I guess mom asked me if I would come to the meetings that year to learn about it and consider taking over and maybe bring some friends to kind of, their vision was that we would shadow them for a year. Well, I was pregnant. So I remember going to those meetings. I guess I went to the first few and then I had Cooper in the fall and missed a few and then, you know, was in the throes of having a newborn going, I don't have the capacity to think about if I can do this next year. But that, the party that year, I remember leaving that night, and it is a really fun event. Mm-hmm. And the guests that come, people come every year and they look forward to it. Some people just come because they love the dancing and, you know, others are auction enthusiasts, my husband being one of them. And, so anyways, we were leaving that night and my best friend who was one of the daughters, Julie, Holly's daughter, but lived across the country, so she could not help with this endeavor. She just said, y'all have to take this on. It can't end.
Of course.
She said, I'll fly home to help you with the day of. I can't help with any of the planning, but you have to do this. And so I guess from that point, we gathered, I think, about five of the daughters of the original mm-hmm. friends and a few other of our friends that we looped in, and we went to dinner to discuss it. Because I think at that point, we sort of felt like the general consensus was we are in a different season mm-hmm. of life in which we are having babies and careers that are demanding. And, you know, anyways, we're in a different chapter. And is this really feasible? And I think we went to dinner to discuss it, but all kind of showed up thinking, this will be when we decide to kill this now. Like, this is a bad idea. And so we sat on the patio, and shout out to Rita Spellings, who is one of the original's daughters, and she has always been an athlete. And she said, but you guys, you know, we have the playbook of how to do this thing. We have the winning playbook. Why wouldn't we just do it?
And, wow,
that's a question. And just like that, like somehow the winds shifted in that dinner and we're like, okay, Rita, if you say so, like, here we go.
Wow.
And so we did. And we leaned so heavily on the original friends that year and didn't want to change too much, mm-hmm. you know, but they really had figured out so much in their years of planning. And it's funny because most of the daughters that joined our group took on their mother's roles in planning.
Right.
Okay. So I'm kind of the wrangler. I get us all together and do the agendas and delegate.
Yes.
My mom says she's really just a professional delegator. And Scylla's daughter took on the auction mm-hmm. and Kellen, yeah, took on the catering. And so we got to kind of partner with our moms in that year and ask mm-hmm. lots and lots of questions of how do we do this and who do we need to contact and whatever. But they had paved their way with some good relationships with people. So it was not nearly as daunting as it was, I think, when they started it 12 years ago from scratch. Mm-hmm. We kind of had some of those same thoughts, I think, of what if none of the former generation comes? Can our generation fund this party, you know, and sure. and what if no one comes, or what if, you know, yeah, I definitely had some of those nights of, you know, laying in bed going, oh, what if this is a total disaster? And I think that that did drive us to just approach it really, really prayerfully of like, Lord, we're going to do our best here and we need you to just intervene and somehow get people right. to the party. And he totally blew us away in fulfilling that request. And we just had a wonderful party last year and we're totally humbled by the success of it. And it was really, it was such a fun thing to do kind of in, it felt like we were doing it hand in hand with the former friends. Mm-hmm. Like as much as they were ready to relinquish their responsibilities, they were still
pretty involved, I would say, last year, but it was really fun and it was neat to form friendships. I think my mom loved seeing friendships form amongst her friends' daughters.
Sure.
Too. Some of us had not even known each other before we started planning this party, but it was like, oh yeah, you're so-and-so's daughter. Okay. You know, you care about
you're
this
in.
Event. You're in.
Yeah.
I did. I took Kellen to coffee to ask her to join our team. And I said, you know, do I need to grovel? We need someone to handle this component of the planning. And she just said, yeah, no, I'm in. And I'm like, you don't know me from Adam.
That's amazing. And, Sally and I had known they would love each other. So.
Right, right. So then they're just, you know, relishing in us becoming friends and all of that. Yeah. And again, we had the same conversation after this past year's party of there was more pregnancies and more job changes and people moving out of the state. And so we kind of convened and said, can we do this another year? And I think what we have loved is having Emily be so much a part of our planning team, Emily Blackledge, that is, be so much a part of our planning process that we have felt like we've gotten to really learn more about African leadership and then about the use of funds and just stories of what's going on in and throughout Africa. And so one of our women last year said, I'm in for another year and I can't imagine doing this with another organization besides African Leadership, because it's just such a special partnership where we get to work hand in hand and hear about kind of the visions for the money and then how that's being played out. I think it amped us up for another year, I would say.
Yeah, I think I would say one of the things that I love most about this dance in particular is that, to me, it's just such a beautiful example of what the global church is. It's what I think we had really simple pictures of it in Acts, you know, when all these believers that couldn't even maybe communicate or share a language were coming together and breaking bread and sharing and being a part of this church. And it looks different now, and we're spread all over the world. But so many times I've been in Africa and had an experience, like you said, Terry, where somebody is saying, we're praying for you and we're so grateful for the workload, the things that you're doing to care and invest in Africa. And I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I look at these men and women that are duking it out on the front lines or living in slums or running programs in refugee camps. And I think they are a hero. They're the people that are really doing something. And I think something clicked for me last year. We had Tito, our country director in from South Sudan, who spoke at the dance last year. And we had a time, all of the fabulous friends had dinner with Tito the week before and just got to hear a little bit about his work and his vision and what he's doing and, you know, get a clearer, maybe more personal perspective of Tito. And at the end of that, Caroline Peoples was pretty pregnant at the time. And I remember her coming up and saying, man, I had this skill set of Excel spreadsheets and being able to write formulas and spreadsheets. And I never thought it would ever benefit anybody. And now that I don't work anymore, I didn't even think it would do anything. I just had this skill set that wasn't important. And it's the one thing I've been able to like leverage. And it's what is helping Tito. That's my piece of working alongside Tito. And that's what I see when I see examples like the Fabulous Friends or some of our people in our network and Mocha Club that are willing to leverage their piece. It's an understanding that God has given us each a season and a space and a time, and what are we going to choose to do with it? And how do we fight with and for something bigger than ourselves and recognize that, just like Paul says in Corinthians, we each have a role in this body, and each role is very different. And you know that just on a team of 10 working together throughout a year to plan a party. They're very different roles, but it's also just such a microcosm of what it looks like when the global church works together and we each have these roles. So we couldn't be more grateful for both of you and the roles that you've carried, because you can delegate all day long, but I can't. So I'm really grateful that y'all can, and that you rally your friends, and that you that in your grumbling, Terry, as you walked around that church, that you're really willing to ask the Lord some hard questions and then listen for the voice of the Spirit. And Edie, just having watched you kind of step into something that definitely felt and at the time was much bigger than what you thought you had the capacity for. But you did it very gracefully and very confidently. And all of those things are just such examples of how the Lord uses our inadequacies or where we are in our seasons or what we're afraid of and just says, but wait, watch me. Watch me show you what I can do. You both are just very beautiful examples of what the Lord can do when you say, I'll go, but I don't know what we're doing all the way. So
I'll show up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is. It's just yeses. We've talked a lot here, but the word yes is a very powerful thing. So thank you.
Okay, let's talk details.
Okay.
Because I'm excited for this year's dance.
Mm-hmm.
So when is it? Give us
February 9th.
Okay, February 9th at 7
p.m. at the factory.
Right, in Franklin, Tennessee.
Uh-huh, in Franklin. And we will have the same band as last year, Biz and the Everyday People. They are so much
fun.
Really
good.
They are so fun. And
dinner and a silent auction.
Right? Yes. And Tito is coming back with a friend.
Bringing his friend Jeffrey. We're going to have a party.
Okay. Yes. We're so excited to hear from them. It was really impactful last year. I think all of our guests just loved having some friends visit the country directors from Africa to come and share. So we're really excited about that.
Good. And okay, if someone wants to come to the dance,
so they can go to fabulousfriendsforafrica.org.
Okay.
And that will direct them to purchase. You can purchase individual tickets or a table. I think we are in the single digits of tables left. So now is a good time to do that if you're interested.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that's it.
Great.
And and our silent auction will be live come Sunday.
Oh, great.
In less than a week. Our silent auction can go on and start bidding.
Okay, great. Yeah. So visit the website. Yeah. Scroll through some really fun prizes. Do you have examples of like some of the things that are
We've
available?
We've got beach houses, staycation, hotel stays, predators tickets, TPAC tickets.
Babysitting services.
Babysitting services. Yeah, we have kid-friendly items, y'all.
Okay. I love it.
Little art classes for toddlers.
Oh, my gosh. How fun.
Anyways, we have like 120-something items, so there is a lot to choose from. Okay. Something for everyone.
So if you can't go to the dance for some reason, you can still participate by doing the silent auction online.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's awesome.
Any other final thoughts or comments about how the Lord has used this in your life?
I'll say one thing that has just been this kind of ancillary benefit that has just been so sweet is what it looks like to serve alongside people that you just enjoy. And that was one of the things that Mom had said for years and years is, these are my friends, but I'd never worked with them in any capacity. And how fun that was to see different people's, it's like this microcosm of what you hear, read about in scripture of like that they're, you know, the body of many parts and that everyone has a different part. And that has been one of my favorite things about this is that I work, you know, there's 10 of us women and we all have such different skill sets and all of them are so necessary to pull this off. And, you know, I just remember moving through it last year going, oh, I had no idea that you have that particular skill set and it is exactly what we need right here. And it is something that I have such a deficit in. And so I'm so grateful that you are bringing that to the table. Mm-hmm. And so it is this sweet and kind of holy thing where we get to see that scripture played out and how, you know, the things that we are lacking, somebody else totally brings to the table. And I see that, you know, like we have that within our microcosm of FF friends, but then it expands throughout kind of this model of African leadership, you know, as they're training leaders to do all sorts of different things throughout Africa. We could expand on that, you know, and spend lots more time talking about it. But it is beautiful to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I just love it. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And I echo everything Edie has just said. And I think of that as a horizontal version of the body. God providing all of those separate needs. But I have also enjoyed the vertical aspects of recognizing that there are seasons of life. We had a season of the original Fabulous Friends, and seeing this next generation of young women take this on, I see God's legacy going that way, going a vertical provision, not just a horizontal one. As much as I enjoyed working with my friends, it has been a delight to watch a new generation step up. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of fun to see some of the daughters mirroring their mother's mm-hmm. skill set. Mm-hmm. So kind of fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you both.
It's great.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much again for being here. This is a really fun time.
It was fun. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, if you want to participate in either coming to the dance if you live in the Nashville area or participate in the silent auction, please visit fabulousfriendsforafrica.org. And you can even learn more of the history of the dance that we might not have covered, but just get more details there. Bid on things for the silent auction, yeah. Get some babysitters or some bread tickets or, gosh, there's so much, some bags from some shops. This is a really fun way to participate in leveraging yourself with these women. So we hope that you will participate in some way. But yeah, thanks for tuning in again for Changing the Conversation podcast. Please subscribe. And actually, if you wouldn't mind, take a couple seconds, go over to your podcast app, and would you give us a review? Because those actually really help. Just leave some comments about what you think about our topics and what you've enjoyed, and we would love to read them and just use them to plan further for more conversations in the future. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks. Have a great day.